Good morning and welcome to our service here at St. Columba's Parish Church. Not forgetting St. Giles, of course. I have one or two intimations. The first one is the new male voice choir will meet at 3 p.m. on Saturday the 14th for tea and coffee and Christmas pies and a short concert. The entrance is £5, children free. It doesn't say where. Where is it going to be, Jim?
Here.
In the church here on Saturday the 14th of December. I've got that right, eh? Aye. Now, you'll probably notice that we have quite a few visitors here today, and this has been planned for 3 or 4 months now. We've invited the police, the fire brigade, the RAF, Mountain Rescue and Air Sea Rescue, and the Coast Guard, and the lifeboat people, all sorts of people, to come so that we can say thank you very much for their service. So that's what it's all about. So to our visitors, welcome, and we hope that you enjoy yourselves and that you enjoy your time here with us. Our strength is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let us worship our God and our King and sing to our glory, if I can find it. Our first hymn in the sheet. Let us pray. Gracious Father, your might is beyond measure, your wisdom beyond knowledge, your love beyond all telling. You have put eternity into our hearts and made us hunger and thirst for you. Satisfy the longings that you have made, that we may find you in life and find life in you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful God, you made us in your image with a mind to know you, a heart to love you, and a will to serve you. Day by day we fail to grow into your likeness. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Saviour, do not hold our sins against us, but in your tender love forgive. May the Almighty and Merciful God grant us pardon and remission of all our sins, time for the amendment of life, and the grace and comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's better. Oh, where would we be without a microphone, eh? Now, today's a special day. Do you know why? Yeah, Leah.
People who help us.
People who help us have come to the church today so we can say... Any ideas? What are we going to say? Olivia, you don't know. Thank you, yeah. That's right, isn't it? Yes. So would you like to say thank you? Would you like to stand up and say thank you? Is that a good idea? You can stand up here and you can say thank you to them. Do you know any of them? Well, you can wave to them, look. Right, boys. Oh, you're stuck, wee one's stuck at the back there. Come on there. You can go there. There we are. Right, you can say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That wasn't a very big thank you. What about a big thank you? What do you think? Well, we get the whole congregation to say thank you. Is that a good idea? Right, after two. One, two. Was that loud enough? Yeah, it was, I suppose. Was it? No? You weren't loud enough, okay. Maybe we'll try a Mexican wave, thank you.
Thank you.
That was rubbish. Try again. After two, one, two.
Thank you.
Some people at the back didn't put their hand up. One more big thank you.
Thank you.
That's better, isn't it? Today, I'm a busy boy today. I've got some things to do. Now, some people who have been coming to the Sunday school for a long time are moving away. They're going far away. Who is it? Evangeline, yes. I think you should stand up there. Stand up in that chair so they can all see you. And face that way so they can all see you. Now, Evangeline is going away, aren't you? Do you know where you're going to? You want to tell them?
Marum.
And your dad's in the Air Force, isn't he?
Yeah.
What does he do?
Fly planes.
He flies planes. And your brother's going too, isn't he? And your mummy's going as well, isn't she? Where's Hector today? Is he hiding? Ah. Well, I've got a gift for you. And a gift for Hector, and a card for your mum and dad. Okay? Right, okay, I'll give you a wee hand.
Yo!
So, cheerio and hooray! Right, what other job have we got to do today? Mind, we nearly forgot last week. They're right there, aren't they? We've got to light the candles. Who wants that job today? We've only got two candles to light, so who's going to do it? I think. You didn't get a shot last week, did you? No, and you did it last week, so Leah, you can have a go. I'm glad there's firemen here, aren't you? Just in case it goes wrong. Who's this? Is it the baby Jesus? All right. Is he not a few days early? Right, I have to be careful. Well done. Keep going. Next person, Leah, right, you can do one. Hang on. Okay. Lovely. That's that. Well done. Now, I'm going to talk to you about service, because that's what we're here to say thank you for. What is service? What do you think it is?
When people help you.
When people help you. Now, I'd like you to go up through the congregation and see if you can see anyone who helps you. And if you do, you can shake their hand and say, thank you very much. Okay, on you go. Go and see if you can find anyone. You're not looking very hard. You've missed a few. Look, they're here. There, they're there. That's some there. And what are they? Are they? It says on their, this, look, come on, we'll check it out. What does it say? It says fire. So these are firemen. Any fire ladies here? Not today, right? Come on, shake the hands. We'll go around the other way. Some, you go in and shake the firemen's hands. And some need to go around this way and shake the police people's hands. Today. Right, there's some more up the back hiding, I think they are. I think they could be, what do you call them? Coast guards, that's what they are. And there's RAF people here too as well. Well, did you shake their hand? Did they tell you anything? Did they not? Did they ask you for money? That's not so bad then. Did you ask them for money? That's okay. Well, I'll talk while they're shaking hands. All these people work for us, or well, they don't actually work for us. They volunteer to look after us. And they're looking after us all the time, whether we know it or not. And we never really see them, but they're always there. Is that not good? So I suppose in a way, they are just like, what would you call them? Somebody who's always there and looking after you, but you don't see them. Any ideas? Angels, that's right. Some are very ugly angels, aren't they? And they don't always have wings, do they? No. But they look after us. And it's really nice to have them here so we can say thank you. Now, have we got all the kids back? Nobody's had them for the lunch, have they? No. We're going to sing another song now. Which is, if I look at your sheet, Those Who Wait on the Lord. That's what we're going to sing now. There should be a song sheet.
Thank you.
The first reading today is from Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 10. The Lord's reign of righteousness and peace. Isaiah 11. Then a shoot shall grow from the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall spring from his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and power, a spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what he sees, nor decide by what he hears. He shall judge the poor with justice and defend the humble in the land with equity. His mouth shall be a rod to strike down the ruthless, and with a word he shall slay the wicked. Round his waist he shall wear the belt of justice, and good faith shall be the girdle round his body. Then the wolf shall live with the sheep, and the leopard lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion shall grow up together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall be friends, and their young shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like cattle. The infant shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the young child dance over the viper's nest. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for as the waters fill the sea, so shall the land be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. On that day, a skin from the root of Jesse shall be set up as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall rally to it, and its resting place shall be glorious. And the second reading is Romans 15, verses 4 to 13. Romans 15, 4 to 13. For all the ancient scriptures were written for our instruction, in order that through the encouragement they gave us, we may maintain our hope and fortitude. And may God, the source of all fortitude and all encouragement, grant that you may agree with one another after the manner of Christ Jesus, so that with one mind and one voice you may praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In a word, accept one another as Christ accepted us to the glory of God. I mean that Christ became a servant of the Jewish people to maintain the truth of God by making good his promises to the patriarchs, and at the same time to give the Gentiles cause to glorify God for his mercy. As Scripture says, therefore I will praise amongst the Gentiles and sing hymns to his name. And again, Gentiles make merry together with his own people. And yet again, all Gentiles praise the Lord, let all peoples praise him. Once again, Isaiah says, there shall be the skin of Jesse, the one raised up to govern the Gentiles. On him the Gentiles shall set their hope, and may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace by your faith in him, until by the power of the Holy Spirit you overflow with hope. And the third reading is Matthew 3, 1 to 12, where John the Baptist preaches repentance. About that time, John the Baptist appeared as a preacher in the Judean wilderness. His theme was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is upon you. It is of him that the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, a voice crying aloud in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord, clear a straight path for him. John's clothing was a rough coat of camel hair with a leather belt round his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. They flocked to him from Jerusalem, from all Judea, and the whole Jordan Valley, and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you vipers' brood, who warned you to escape from the coming retribution? Then prove your repentance by the fruit it bears, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. I tell you that God can make children for Abraham out of those stones here. Already the axe is laid to the roots of the trees, and every tree that fails to produce good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who comes after me is mightier than I. I am not fit to take off his shoes. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His shovel is ready in his hand, and he will winnow his threshing floor. The wheat he will gather into his granary, but he will burn the chaff on a fire that can never go out. Amen. Thanks be to God.
We shall now sing together I, the Lord of Sea and Sky, hymn 251.
Very good morning to you. My name is Jeff Withers, and I'm one of the RAF chaplains at Lossiemouth, and it is my privilege and pleasure to be with you this morning. And I want to thank Stevie for the invitation to come and in many ways be his warm-up act and pass the baton to him in a few moments' time. So I have the privilege really just to set the scene. One of the greatest problems in our society today is that so many people, irrespective of age and background and education or ability, have a real difficulty sensing their worth. They lack a sense of significance, of value, and for many they spend their whole lives with that sense of emptiness and not quite achieving what they believe they should achieve. And in many ways it eats away at their lives. That so many people struggle to see the huge amount of talents, of gifts, of ability, of sheer goodness that is implanted in them as human beings. And they, in one sense, struggle to allow that goodness to flow, or they tend to fear or lack the courage to use those talents and abilities for the good of others. There's a real challenge for them in their search for significance. We're thinking a little bit today about that call to serve. What does it mean to serve? Our focus particularly upon the armed or upon the emergency services, those within the military, those within the civil forces, whether we have the fire service, the police, the lifeboat institution, those within the military, those within the medical services. Huge range of people who day by day serve our community. But I just wonder, why do we serve? Is it because we're told to? Somebody tells us to serve. Is it because we sense that we should serve? There's just some nagging thing within us that tells us we should serve. Or is it because of who we are? Do we serve because that's who we are? A few miles from us sits Gordonston School, and the chapel at Gordonston, when you look at it from the outside, is either like a book that has been opened and stood on its spine, or it looks like the bow of a ship. And if you go into the chapel at Gordonston, beside every seat there is the Gordonston Chapel book. And inside the early pages of that book, there is a little passage that's written by a gentleman called Sir Ian Tennant. And he is a former chairman of the governors at Gordonston School. And he wrote this passage imagining what its founder, Kurt Hahn, might want to say to those who are leaving school today in our time and in our generation. And Sir Ian Tennant wrote this. And this is an advice to a Gordonston School student leaving. Face the days that lie ahead with a spirit of adventure, compassion, honesty, and confidence. Brave the stormy seas that are bound to confront you, determined to sail your ship on the quiet waters that lie ahead. Help those whom you may find in trouble, and stay clear of the whirlpools of destruction which you will meet on your voyage through life. Be not afraid of who you are, what you are, or where you are, but cling implicitly to the truth as taught in the religion of your following. If you do all these things, you will be of service, and if you are of service, you will make others happy, and you will be happy too. Be not afraid of who you are, what you are, where you are, but cling implicitly to the truth as taught in the religion of your following. And if you do all these things, you will be of service. And if you are of service, you will make others happy, and you will be happy too. Well, who am I? My name is Jeff Withers. I'm married to a lady called Jenny, and we have two Irish setters called Fergie and Charlton. Jenny is a Manchester United fan, unfortunately, and the two dogs were named after some famous Mancunians. I'm an Arsenal supporter and would struggle for appropriate names. My home originally is Belfast, kind of born and bred. I'm an Anglican priest, and I've been since my ordination back in June 1993. I worked for about 7 or 8 years in the local parish church just on the edges of Belfast in one of the large paramilitary estates before joining the Air Force in 2000. And I live and work in Lossiemouth well for the next couple of months anyway. Back in 2000, I felt that call to military service. I always had a yearning, perhaps from my teenage years, to work full-time within the Christian ministry. I had an opportunity to meet a number of military individuals along the path, and there was a real kind of sense within me that I just almost fell in love with that community. An amazing group of men and women, the vast majority that I come across, perhaps have no great open or overt faith. But for me, it has brought a huge amount of challenge, of reward, of blessing, of delight, of stimulation, and of growth for me as an individual. The challenge for me is to call to serve that community, to support them, to love them, and in some way give to them that sense of significance, perhaps, that they search for. It's not really a challenge. At times there may be a degree of uncomfortableness, but it's not necessarily a worry. I came across a quote by a man called John Eldridge, and I liked his view. He said this, that life is not a problem to be solved. It is an adventure to be lived. And man or woman just won't be happy until he's got adventure in his work, in his love, and in his spiritual life. I've no doubt that those that are involved within our emergency services, some may do it for the little money that they get, but they don't do the job for the money, because in many ways you cannot pay that individual to do what they do. Money just does not compensate for the risk, the element of danger, the courage that they require, the sights that they see, the human lives that they need to live with, and the human beings that they need to walk with. Money is just not sufficient. And money enough could not pay them for the job that they do day in and day out. It is, and it has to be, an adventure, or it wouldn't sustain them. Something within them would die if they did not see their call as an adventure. Something that they need to do, a line that they need to step up to, in some sense to prove themselves, in some sense, to support the community that they live and work with. But John Eldridge went on to say this. He says, don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive and go and do that. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. If there is no sense of life in your sense of call, it will be an incredibly difficult, frustrating, and almost soul-destroying job or call. But I wonder, irrespective of whether you are in the emergency services or not, we all have a call to serve. I wonder, if you had the permission to do what you really want to do in life, what would you do? If you had permission to do what you really want to do in life, what would you do? What do you think is written in your heart? What makes you come alive? It's that source of life that gives us the courage, the fulfillment, and the significance in life. Age is not a barrier. Background is not a barrier. Social circumstances are not a barrier. It's seeking to search what inside each and every one of us as individuals, a seed that is planted by God Almighty that makes us come alive. Let me finish with a poem before I hand over to Stevie. Written by a man called Edgar Lee Masters. I've studied many times the marble which was chiseled for me, a boat with a furled sail at rest in a harbor. In truth, it pictures not my destination, but my life. For love was offered me, and I shrank from its disillusionment. Sorrow knocked at my door, but I was afraid. Ambition called to me, but I dreaded the chances. Yet all the while, I hungered for meaning in my life, and now I know that we must lift the sail and catch the winds of destiny wherever they drive the boat. To put meaning in one's life may end in madness, but life without meaning is torture of restlessness and vague desire. It is a boat longing for the sea and yet afraid. What makes you come alive?
Service. Jeff spoke a bit about it there, quite eloquently, and I could hear him thinking to himself, follow that one, Stevie. But here we are. I think that's what they call a hospital pass, but I'm not too sure. I think you could say this of service. It's born of experience and tradition and camaraderie. I was a chaplain in the Navy for a while, and the recruits used to come, and I'd say to them, right, what does Navy actually mean? And they'd sit and they'd go, loyalty, I'm like, no. Patriotism, I'm like, no. Courage, I'm like, no. Duty, I'm like, no. It means none of these things. What does it mean? I said, well, it means this. Never actually volunteer yourself. That's what it means. Now, this is what's quite amazing, and Jeff touched on it. All of the people who are in the emergency services, the Coast Guard, the lifeboats, the fire brigade, the police, the ambulance people, the mountain rescue, the search and rescue, they are all volunteers. So something, somewhere must make you think, that's a job that I think it's worth doing, and I'm going to do it well, and I'm going to enjoy it as I can. I don't know who said it, but one volunteer is better than 10 press men, and that's always the case. I was thinking in an earlier service this week about what I might say, and I thought, yeah, what fancy words could I use? Well, I could use, what's the one, I better write it, I think I wrote it down, diaconia, which means to serve. And I thought, nah, I won't bother. I'll just tell them what it's like to be in the police, because I was a policeman for a while. And I'm going to tell you one or two wee stories. Now, I think it would apply across the board. We'll give it a try. There are different characters in every walk of life, and whether you're a policeman or a policewoman or a fireman or an ambulanceman or in the RAF, or it doesn't matter what, you will meet them. And they have nicknames. We had the Gurkha. I used to think, oh, he's really brave. No, it was because he never took a prisoner. There was another guy, we called him the Olympic Torch. I thought he must be really fit. No. It was because he never went out. He never left the office. And yet, for all that, people do serve outside in the big bad world. And they make sacrifices. You sacrifice your time, your family. Sometimes you feel isolated, particularly if you're in the traffic police, you know, Billy and O-mates. They booked me last week, so I hope they're enjoying their Sunday morning. That's all I can say. But there was one time, I'll tell you the particulars, I was a beat man in Barrhead. I got a call to a sudden death. I went to the house, had a wee look at the wifey. I thought, poor wee soul. And a tidy wee house, stepped over her, put the kettle on, click. And as soon as the wife heard the click, she said, oh, thank God you're here. Well, she wasn't dead at all, was she? And I just about went through the roof. I did my Tom and Jerry impersonation. And then I had to explain why I didn't need the undertaker. I really needed an ambulance. And that was something that I'll never forget. But it was really funny. Looking back on it now, it wasn't funny at the time, let me tell you. In our lives today, We are bombarded by the bureaucrats, the statistics, the form filling, the risk assessment. And you might be sitting there thinking to yourself, why did I sign up? What did I join up for? Why am I bothering? What's going on? Well, I'm going to tell you something that won't encourage you. Okay. 40 years ago, people used to say, aye, the job's changed. But the job's not changed. Because there will always be men and women, ordinary people, who volunteer to join our emergency services. And they do it, as Jeff said, regardless of the danger or the cost. And I suppose the whole crux and centre and thrust of our service today is to say this. We would like to thank you. Our congregation represents, we hope, our whole community. We want to thank you and we appreciate what you do and we'll help you where we can because you do a great work of service. And that's it. Thank you. Thank you for your diligence, your forbearance, your fun, your courage, all of the things that make you who you are. Because we would be in dire straits if we could not rely on you. I remember the old poster for the police. Thank God they're here. And these guys are running up the street with the white gloves on. They weren't carrying a radar gun, I might tell you, okay, just in case you wondered. But it still applies today to our Coast Guard, our lifeboat crews, you name it, our search and rescue, our mountain rescue. Thank God you're here. And so, once again, thank you. We shall now sing together hymn 691.
Let us pray. We give thanks for the commitment and the dedication of the emergency services, and we pray that they may be given the strength they need to serve others. We give thanks for the resilience and courage of those serving throughout Moray, and pray that the bonds of community care and concern may hold fast at this time. We pray for all involved in the work of the emergency services, the fire services, mountain rescue teams, customs and coast guard services, military search and rescue services, the Royal National Lifeboat Institution, and the air ambulance services. We offer you thanks for all who give their time, experience and skill to rescue those who have become injured, trapped or otherwise at risk on mountains, in rivers or at sea. We praise you for lives saved and remember with thankfulness lives lost in attempt to save. Surround with your tender compassion those whom they loved and who loved them. And we remember all who raise awareness of and funds for our voluntary services. We pray for those in the emergency service to whom has fallen the task of scouring wreckage for traces of victims. They have seen what no eye should need to see when in their exhaustion their defences were down and their hearts vulnerable. We lift them to you, Lord. Keep them whole. Help them to live with the memories they cannot erase. Enable them to hand over to you any guilt at what they were unable to do. We pray for those who have wrestled with complex technical decisions about safety, trying to balance one factor against another, to anticipate the 1,000 possible ways in which disaster could strike, where judgments were made in good faith that now, in the light of events, seem more questionable, speak peace to hearts beset with guilt. We remember those whose task it has been to care for the injured, to tend wounds and to reconstruct bodies. We acknowledge with gratitude the way in which they have not spared themselves in order that others might live and live better. We pray, Lord God, for all involved in defence and public order. We pray for the armed services and the police service. We thank you, Lord, for their work in protecting our communities from those who seek to rob and to destroy. We remember before you the intelligence services, seeking to identify threats to our safety and the people behind those threats before they can take effect. May the life of our community be blessed with peace. We remember before you, Lord, those who work in hospitals, consultants and junior clinical staff, physicians, surgeons, anaesthetists. We remember those who are on call for long periods. May they be sustained through exhaustion to give of their best when crisis comes. We hold in care before you those who pioneer new procedures and treatments. We pray for nursing and ancillary staff, ambulance and paramedical services, radiographers, physiotherapists, occupational therapists, nutritionists, mental health services. We do not forget, and we pray too for non-medical staff, managers, porters, cleaners, transport volunteers and caterers. Grant to all joy in the service they give. Through your Spirit, may we all affirm the service they give. And so, Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, healed the sick and brought comfort to the weary, give strength and courage to the men and women of the emergency services throughout Moray. Grant to them your love and presence in the heart of danger, sorrow, pain, and anguish, that they may continue to find life and hope in the midst of destruction. This and all our prayers we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Before we sing our closing hymn, I have to remind you, of course, that after the service, Everyone's invited across to the Williamson Hall, where you can meet our emergency service people, where they'll be given tea and buns and stickies and all sorts of good things. So I would encourage as many of you as you can to go and meet our emergency services people and offer them your hospitality. We shall now close our worship and sing to God's Glory, hymn 704. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, this day and forever. Please be seated.